I really hate to let you down this morning because I know Gary's on the list. And I know Gary's got some great messages and challenges for everybody. You're a floor person? That's fine with me. Huh? Well, one person's weird person is somebody else's normal person. A lot of places I go around the world, there isn't anything but the floor. The only thing is, it's not the floor, it's the ground. And a lot of times we're teaching sitting in the dirt. But anyway, I think Gary wasn't aware that this morning was his session, so what I'll probably do is swap out with him my session later on. I appreciate them allowing me to be here. You guys have no idea what a privilege it is for me to be here and for you to be here. You have no idea how wonderful it is to be able to meet together without fear that someone is going to come through that door and haul you away. Just a couple of weeks ago, I came back, probably 3 weeks now, I came back from China. And in China, Christians meet knowing that if they get caught, small groups like this, they know if they get caught, they're going to get hauled away and they're going to get put in prison. I met one young man who got caught coming to the place that I teach in China. He got caught one of the last sessions. The police caught him on the road going home, and they took him and they made him squat down like this, and he had to stay there for 4 hours. They said, "We're going to teach you what happens when you go to this school, and if you go again, it's going to be worse than this, because we could take you and throw you in jail." So it's a privilege for me to be here. It's also a privilege for you to be here. And as Colonel Curcio pointed out at the flag ceremony, the only reason, and I would add one thing to this, not the only reason, one reason that we have the freedom to gather together this morning is because of the men and women that serve in our military. People that pay the price on the battlefield. People that serve as police officers and the firemen and all that. But there's an invisible army out there. And that's the army of men and women who have dedicated themselves to serving God. The missionaries, the pastors, the Sunday school teachers, and they're not often recognized. In fact, oftentimes the military gets the recognition and they're ignored. And we're here because of them. Now, you may not appreciate this very much, young people, but if you lose it, you're going to remember it as the greatest treasure you ever had. I go to communist countries. I know what it's like in those places. I've been in Vietnam after the Vietnam War. And I've had to sneak down the alleyways and sneak through those doors and tap a code on the door so they'd let me in to meet with a group just like this. Last time I was in Vietnam, 10 people got arrested after we were there and put in prison, and some of them have never been heard of again. That's the price they pay. That's the value of what you and I have. So I'm going to start with prayer. I came with no notes because I wasn't planning on teaching. And you know what? That's great because normally I don't use a lot of notes anyway. I write notes down just to help organize things in my mind, and then I try to allow the Spirit of God to guide what I'm going to say. So let's pray and let's ask God to use this time. Time is so valuable. We want God to use this time. Join me in prayer. Father, what a privilege it is for me to be here with these young people and adults. What a great joy to be free, to live in this land that is so rich, where we have so many opportunities. Father, we take it for granted because we don't know what it's like to have to live without it. We don't know what it's like to always be watched. We don't know what it's like not to be able to make free choices. We don't know what it's like to live in the fear that maybe today we're going to get hauled away. We might get separated from our family. We may end up in prison and never get out again. We just don't understand. But Father, our brothers and sisters all over this world are going through that today. In Africa, in India, in Burma, in China, Vietnam, so many of these places, Christians are suffering today to do what we're doing right here and right now. So God, I'm just asking you to shake us up, wake us up, and use this time to fulfill your eternal purpose. For I ask it in Christ's name. Amen. All right, gang, I want you to open with me to our theme passage. This passage is so rich, so valuable. What is it? Anybody know? Ephesians 5. Does anyone know where Paul was when he wrote the book of Ephesians? Any of you know, you young folks? Where was Paul when he wrote the book of Ephesians? He was in prison. He was in a jail cell. He was under Roman imprisonment for doing what I'm doing right here, right now. And in a Roman prison cell, Paul wasn't sitting there feeling sorry for himself. This book has been called the pinnacle of the Alps of the epistles. In other words, you take all of the epistles that Paul wrote, 13 of them, and you look at them like a mountain range of high points of understanding and instruction. The book of Ephesians is called the highest mountain. In this epistle, Paul's spirit soars like an eagle. I mean, he is riding on the wind of the Spirit of God. He is exulting. He is celebrating. He is rejoicing in the great truths that he's writing in this book. And he was writing to people who later on would understand some of what he was going through, because you see, Paul was a pathfinder to the early Christians. He was blazing a trail that he knew they would have to follow. He was the one that the Roman authorities focused their attention on to nail this guy, to shut down this new movement, which they didn't call Christianity. They called it the Way. That was the term that early Christians used, the Way. Jesus said, I am the Way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And so Paul knew that these young men and women, many of them just like you, one day were going to pay a price for what they believe. And young people, I want to tell you something. If you're not willing to pay a price for what you believe, it's not worth much. How valuable are your convictions? How valuable is what you hold dear? I'll tell you how valuable it is. It all depends on how much you're willing to pay to hold it, to cling to it, and to cherish it. So in this book that is so magnificent, and this book is all about Christ, every book Paul wrote is all about Christ. You can talk about the different subjects and the different topics and the different themes, but when you get right down to it, if you look through the epistles of Paul and just read a chapter sometime and count, how many times does he use the name Jesus or the name Lord or the name Christ or God? Nothing else compares to it. That is his topic. His topic here is Jesus Christ, the head of the church, the head of the body. But the body has to understand what the head wants it to do. You know, if you break your neck at a certain point in your spine, you lose the function of your body. Your mind can think it, but your body can't do it. The problem in the church today is that the body has been severed from the head. The body in the church today is all focused on the body. It's all about us. Even the modern Christian songs are all about us. It's all about what I'm going to do. It's all about my faith, my worship, my praise, my this, that, and everything else. And we've lost the focus the early church had, which said, hey, it's all about Christ. And if we keep our eyes on Him, we're going to be all right, because we'll know what He wants us to do. So in this passage, Paul's talking to the body, bringing a message from the head. And I'm going to start reading in verse 14. For this reason, it says, Scripture says, he's talking about the Word of God, wake up, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, or redeeming the time, some of your translations will say, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. Always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. What a rich passage. Young people, you could live your life from just the truth in that passage. You could live your whole life and make your life worthwhile and have impact in the world just from those few verses. Scripture is so rich. The Word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. God's Word is the sword of the Spirit. Paul mentions that later in Ephesians chapter 6. And the Spirit of God wants to take this passage like the point of the sword, and He wants to drive it deep into your heart and soul and mind this morning. And I hope that I will not in any way be a hindrance to Him doing that. The biggest problem with being a communicator is that you get in the way of the message. My silent prayer and sometimes my open prayer is always that somehow God will just hide me when I stand up to communicate. Because I'm not the issue, and I'm not the message. The message is Jesus Christ, and somehow Jesus Christ has to have the freedom to step out in front of you from His Word this morning and talk to you through me and just hide me behind Him. So don't look to me. You look to the One who's invisible. In the book of Hebrews, the author of Hebrews talks about Moses, and it says Moses lived his life seeing Him who is invisible. So I want you to look at the invisible one standing here, the hero of history, who's standing here, not me. I'm behind Him. He's in front of me. And as Jeremiah said, the Lord is with me like a mighty champion. He is here, and He has a message for you this morning. Now, I hope you're in the habit of taking notes, because even if you don't read the notes again, the very act of writing them down helps fix them in your mind. And I see some of you have notebooks open and pens ready, so I want you to jot down a few things before you can even look at this passage to get anything out of it. There's three things we got to understand. You know, preparation is so important. I'm going to talk about preparation later on. Preparation means when I come to Bible class, I'm ready. What am I ready to do? Well, what's the purpose of Bible class? Learning. So I'm ready to learn. And being ready to learn means that I have everything I need to help fix the message in my mind so that I don't lose it, so that I don't waste that precious time. So there's three things I want you to get by way of preparation before I can even start talking about this passage and allowing the Spirit of God to talk about this passage. Number one, you can't redeem time if you don't know what it's worth. You can't redeem time. If you don't value time, you can't redeem it. You're not going to redeem it because it's not valuable to you. It's not precious to you. You know, when we visited my dear friend, I mean, he's been a friend, he's been a fellow soldier, he's been on the board of our ministry from the very beginning. Nick Bacon is a very, very close friend to me. I mean, he's as close as it gets. You know, the native people often talk about being a skin brother, like we're in the same skin. That's Nick Bacon. He said something yesterday that struck me. Now he's got cancer. Now the doctor's telling him he doesn't have much time left. You know what he told me, young people? I mean, Nick has had fame. He has had recognition throughout the world. He's had a lot of things. Just before we left, he said, if someone told me that I could go over there and I could dig dirt and find all the gold in the world, he said, I'd tell them to go their way. He said, money means nothing when you have no time. Most people spend their lives working hard to make a living, to make money, to get prosperity, to have things, and by the time they start thinking about what they're going to do with it, their life's over. And there's not a one of us here who knows how much time we have, but I'm going to tell you something, your time is precious. And young people, you and I, and adults as well, we will never learn to redeem time until we wake up and realize, my time's precious. Do you know who it was that said time is money? Anybody remember? Benjamin Franklin. Now, he was a pretty wise man, but he was wrong when he said that. Time is not money. Money can't even come close to time. Money is worthless. Money is worth less than the dust under your feet compared to time. Because you can make money, but you can't make time. You can save money, but you can't save time. Every one of us is passing through life at 60 seconds an hour. And it never stops. And as that clock ticks through the seconds and the hours, your life and my life is passing away. So the first point I want us to get is, we will never redeem time until we realize that time is precious. Secondly, you won't redeem time, you can't redeem time until you understand what it costs. One of the things I often find myself doing in foreign countries that I find myself in is you go to the markets and you want to buy something. Maybe you want to buy some fruit, or you find some little hand-carved thing that you think would be nice to take back to somebody and you want to buy it. What are you going to communicate to that person? If you're in a foreign country and you don't speak the language and you want to buy something at the market, what's the one question you have to ask? How much? How much? I can do it in Spanish, but I can't do it in Chinese. But I've learned that the Chinese have a system of counting from 1 to 10 using different symbols of the hand. And so I can use some of the different symbols, and then there's this hand signal that says it all. How much? How much is it? Because I can't buy it unless I know how much it costs. You can't redeem time until you know the price. How much is it going to cost me to redeem time? What is it going to take? Third, you and I cannot and will not redeem time until we know what we're going to do with it. We have to know what we're going to do with it. Not only do we have to know how valuable it is, not only do we have to know what it costs to redeem it, but we've got to understand, if I'm going to buy up time, which is what this word really means, as Mark pointed out to us last night, buy up the time is what it means. But why would you buy something? The reason we buy something is because we want to use it, right? I buy a pen so I can write. I buy a book so I can read. I buy a shirt so I can wear it. Whatever we buy because we have a use for it. Maybe that use is nothing more than hanging it on the wall or sitting it on a shelf, but we want it there. If you knew how much time was worth, and if you knew how much time cost, would you know what to do with it? We have a saying that we often use, I'm just killing time. You know what? When you kill time, Henry David Thoreau said, when you kill time, you injure eternity. Think about that. What are you doing with your time? Oh, I'm just killing time. You're injuring your eternity. Another man said, I forget his name, people talk about killing time, and all the while time smiles and slowly kills them. Time's killing you. You may not feel it now. You don't feel the years pass. You can't wait for the next year to get past because you want to go from 13 to 14, 14 to 15. You can't wait to get older. And at some point, you're going to cross that line when you're going to start saying, I wish time would slow down. My wife and family and I spent 20 years in Arkansas teaching the Word and ministering. 20 years. It's a long time. Man, 20 years. I look back on that 20 years, guys, and it's like it went whew. And then we left Arkansas and moved to Australia, and we spent 10 years in Australia, and I look back at the 10 years in Australia, and it's like it just went whew. It's gone. You add those up, that's 30 years. You know what? That 30 years just went whew. How much time have I got left? Another 30 years? Not very likely. Another 20? It's conceivable. Do I even have 10? Do I even have 1? I don't know. Time becomes very, very precious, very, very valuable. So I want you to look at this passage now with me. And I just want to touch on a few things about how we can redeem time. Ultimately, in the last session that I have with all of y'all, with the young people and adults, which I think is Thursday night, I'm going to give the greatest example of redeeming time, and that's Jesus Christ. He was the only one who really understood how to redeem time. He's the example to you and I about how to redeem time. He was the only one who really had time in his consciousness in the right way. We're going to talk about a lot of things. Some of my classes are with you young folks. Some of my classes are more with the adults. And we're going to talk about a lot of different things about time, because we've got to talk about the nature of time and where did time come from and where is it going to go. You ever hear people say, where did the time go? Time goes the same place it's always gone. It's passing into the past. It's becoming part of history. It's over. We're going to have to look at a lot of those things. But right now, this is kind of introduction. What is it going to take for you to redeem time? First of all, you're going to have a reason for redeeming time. You notice what it says there in verse 14? Sometimes we read these phrases and we just look over them. And young people, I would really strongly urge you, when you come to Bible class, your most important preparation is bring a Bible. Bring a Bible. Have that Bible in front of you. Why is it so important? Because I don't want you to hear me say something and accept it just because I said it. This is the Word of God. After you and I are gone, after this nation is gone, after this world ceases to exist, this is still going to be here. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but the Word of God endures forever. James and Peter both quote the Old Testament, and they say all flesh is like grass, and all of the glory of man, all of the great accomplishments and achievements of the human race are just like the flower of grass. The flower withers and the grass fades, but the Word of God endures forever. What is the reason for redeeming time? Right there in verse 14, he says, for this reason it says, meaning the Scripture, and the reason is back up there in verse 1 and 2. He says, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love just as Christ loved you and gave himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. In other words, a sweet smell. When Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for your sins and my sins, it was like God the Father went, ah, that smells good. Like the scent of flowers. Like a beautiful smell. Why? Because as horrible as the cross was and as evil as men were to cry out for the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, God the Father knew that sending His Son to die on the cross was the only way He could make it possible for you and I to go to heaven. Everything about Christ gives meaning to time. Everything about the cross of Christ gives meaning to time. Because young people, let me tell you, if you're here this morning without faith in Jesus Christ, I don't care what you do in life, in the end, it's all going to pass away. Where will you spend eternity? One of the things we're going to talk about in the classes as we go along is what are the 5 most important decisions that you and I can make in time. What do you think number 1 is? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll have eternal life. If you live your life and never make the most important decision of all, not only have you wasted your time, you killed your time, but you injured eternity because you will spend eternity separated from God forever. That's not a very pleasant message. Not a message that's often talked about today. But hell is a reality. There are only two options after this life, heaven and hell. Heaven lasts forever. Hell lasts forever. Once you're there, there's no way out. There's no second chance. There's no way to change your mind. There's no way to say, I'm sorry, I didn't mean it. It's too late. The greatest thing you can do is decide to receive a gift. It's not something you do. It's not something God is requiring of you. It's something that He is offering to you. And that is the offer of His Son, Jesus Christ. And that's why He says, be imitators of God as beloved children. Once you receive the love of God, once you exercise faith in Christ, once you are born again into His family, God wants you to be like Him. And the reason is because being like Him is the only way to experience His love and share His love with other people. Walk in love as Christ loved us. Years ago, the Beatles sang a song. What the world needs now is love. You know what our world is crying for today? You know what kind of a cry I hear as I walk the streets of India and I walk the streets of Calcutta and you see children laying on the side of the road dying? I've seen it. Children starving to death. I've seen men and women so diseased and they had no medical help. I've seen people so poor. I've seen men and women with twisted legs and twisted arms, unable to speak, maybe blind, sitting on street in the hot sun on the streets of India, holding out their shaking hand, hoping someone will put something in it so they can get something to eat that day. You know what those people need? They just need one thing. They need love. And young people, and some of you know this, because maybe you feel unloved. Oftentimes, when you're young, you feel unloved even though you are. I'm here to tell you, you are loved. First and foremost, you are loved by a Heavenly Father who loved you so much He sent His own Son to the cross to buy you, to gain you as a treasure. He considers you to be priceless. What is your worth? Your worth is the Son of God hanging on the cross. That's how much you're worth to God. He would sacrifice His own Son and put Him through the hell of the cross just to give you an opportunity to have eternal life. So the first thing I want us to understand about redeeming time is you have to have a reason. And the reason is so that you can know and share the love of God. What does it take to redeem time? It takes a reason. Secondly, what does it take to redeem time? It takes waking up to what life's really all about. Look at what he says in verse 14. Wake up! This is like someone shaking you and saying, wake up! What's Paul trying to do? He's trying to say, you're letting your life slip away. You're letting time pass you by. The most precious thing that God has given you is time, because time means opportunity. Opportunity means you can make a choice. Your choice is going to determine your eternal destiny. Your choice is going to determine what kind of life you have. So wake up! You're asleep! How many of you notice time passing by when you're sleeping? You don't notice it. You're asleep. Time passes by and you lay there, snoring, drooling, tossing and turning. You don't even know time's passing you by. Most people are sleepwalking through life. Most people are not aware that their time is running out. You know, I've told this story before. I know some of the adults that are here know it. When I was a kid, my mom and dad took in kids from broken homes. They took in kids from bad situations, and they took in kids that were on their way to reform school or prison, and they took them in and tried to give them a chance. One of those kids was a guy named Billy. Billy came to us when he was 18. Good-looking kid, had a great personality. He just had a rotten home. My dad always used to say, there are no bad kids, there's just bad parents. He said, every kid just needs a chance. And they gave Billy a chance. So he came to live with us. He went to school with us. He was popular in school. He was a great athlete. He had everything you would think a young man would want. And one night I sat down with Billy, and we sat on our bunks, and I shared the gospel with him. He said, "What makes you tick? What is this religion thing?" I said, "Billy, sit down. I want to talk to you." And I opened my Bible, and I spent 2 hours sharing with him the love of God and telling him about Jesus Christ and how he came and went to the cross and died to pay the penalty for all his sins, to set him free, to give him the gift of eternal life. I did everything I knew to explain the way of salvation to that young man. At the end of those 2 hours, Billy sat there for a minute and he just looked at the floor. And then he looked up at me and he said, "You know, I realize that you're probably right." He said, I realize that I need to make that decision, but he said, "I'm not ready." He said, "I'm having a good time." See, there's that word. "I'm having a good time. I'm popular. The girls love me. I'm doing all these things I want to do. And when I get a little bit older," in other words, when I have a little more time to do what I want, "then I'll make that decision." And 2 months later, Billy took an overdose of drugs and died. And you know what? That's been 40 years ago. And Billy's been in hell for a long time. And you know what? The first minute in hell to Billy seemed like an eternity. And you know what? Every minute that he's been in hell has seemed like an eternity. People don't like it today. They say, "You can't tell if someone's going to heaven or if they're going to hell." No, I can't. I don't know the hearts of men, but I do know this. Jesus Christ said, "No man comes to the Father except through me." So I'm going to leave it with Jesus Christ, because I'll tell you what, you can take Aristotle, you can take Plato, you can take Socrates, you can take all the great minds that the world has ever known and put them all together, and they'll never measure up to the wisdom and the understanding of Jesus Christ. So young people, I want to tell you, if you're going to redeem your time, even during this camp, if you're going to make this camp count, you're going to first of all have to have a reason to know the love of Christ. Secondly, you're going to have to wake up. So your wake-up call is this morning. Maybe this is the reason God allowed me to step in and take this morning session here at the start of camp. I'm pleading with you, wake up and realize the reason you're here. What else is it going to take for you and I to redeem time? I want you to notice here, he says, if you wake up, sleeper, and rise from the dead, Christ will shine on you. I hear people say all the time, "Where is God? Why doesn't he make himself known?" Listen, if you'll wake up, he'll make himself known. He'll make himself known. You just have to be willing and open and receptive. But the next thing I want you to notice, the third thing I want you to notice, if you and I are going to redeem time, we're going to have to learn to be careful about how we use it. See what he says there? Verse 15, "Therefore, be careful." Be careful. The word "to be careful" here means be extremely cautious. It means to act with focus and concentration and accuracy. It means that you're not just wandering around like a blind man, staggering like a drunk. It means that you have a goal and you want to reach that goal, and you're going to make sure that you're accurate in how you get to that goal. So reviewing in our minds. Number one, you got to have a reason. Number two, you're going to have to wake up. Number three, you're going to have to be careful. Young people, you don't realize how much you can damage yourselves by wasting your life. You know, I grew up in a home. My mom and dad were two of the greatest people in the world, but you know what? They had a lot of problems between them. They had a lot of problems between them. And I know what it's like as a young person to grow up with the arguing that can go on between a mom and a dad, and the fighting that can go on, and the hard words that can be spoken. And I want to tell you something. It injures the soul. It injures the heart. And most of you here know what I'm talking about. But you know what? Those things happen because people are not careful. And you can injure yourself because every single one of you is now at an age when you're beginning to make decisions about what you're going to do with your time and what you're going to do with your life. You're making decisions about your life goals. You're making decisions about sexuality. You're making decisions about the kind of person you're going to be. And I'm telling you, if you make the wrong decisions, you are going to injure yourself. You're going to inflict wounds on your soul that are going to follow you through your life. Be careful. Be very careful, young people. Not only do we need to be careful, what's the next thing? The fourth thing. He says, therefore, be careful how you not walk, not as unwise men, but as wise. You're going to need wisdom. You're going to need wisdom. That's the fourth thing. Where does wisdom come from? Wisdom can only come from God. There is no wisdom apart from God. Young people, all truth in the universe belongs to God. I don't care if it's truth of a doctor discovering a cure. I don't care if it's truth of a scientist who is working out the laws of physics. I don't care if it's the truth of any person in any endeavor. That truth belongs to God. We discover it. God invented it. And that's wisdom. Because when the Bible talks about wisdom, what it means is to live life God's way. Wisdom is not in how much you know. Wisdom is in knowing the things that count. When you come to a crossroads in life, when you come to a decision you have to make, when you're facing that possibility of taking the drug or rejecting the drug, when you're facing that possibility of getting sexually involved or not getting sexually involved, and you have the wisdom to say, this is not God's way. And the world out there and your schools and maybe even your parents are all telling you, it doesn't matter. Live life any old way. There's a whole bunch of us adults here that walk through life with a limp because we made decisions that way. We go through life with pain because we made decisions that way. Let me tell you something. It matters. And the longer you live, the more it matters. Am I right, adults? Every one of us will tell you. Be wise. Get your wisdom from God. And then he says, making the most of your time because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish. Being foolish is the opposite of being wise. And young people, there are only two ways to go through life. There aren't 3, 5, 10 ways. There's only two ways. There's the wise way and there's a foolish way. If you want to be a fool, go ahead. But you know what happens to every fool? In the end, they end up being exposed for a fool. Everyone. These Hollywood stars, they're rich, they're famous, they're on People magazine and all these other rag sheets that are out there. And everybody says, oh man, look, they're on the red carpet, they're getting their picture taken, they're on TV all the time, they've got all these CDs out and everything else. Look at how they end. How many of them commit suicide? An overwhelming majority of people who reach fame kill themselves. Either direct suicide or drugs, alcohol, or a car accident. Princess Diana. The day before Princess Diana died, how many young women looked at her and dreamed, if only I could be like her. Next day, her body is shredded in a tangled vehicle because of bad decisions. Bad decisions. We call it an accident. Young people, there are no accidents in life. Every accident that ever happened was caused by a decision. Every accident. Things don't just happen. Things are caused by bad decisions. So don't be a fool. Understand what the will of the Lord is. And here's the fifth thing. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation. Dissipation means to waste your time. It means to waste your resources. In fact, if you're looking down at your Bible, I want you to look at the word to redeem in verse 16 and the word dissipation in verse 18, because the two are direct opposites. The wise man redeems time. The fool wastes time. That word dissipation means to waste your time. It means to squander your resources. That same word dissipation is used in a very famous story, probably the best known story in the Bible. Anybody know what the best known story in the Bible is? Make a guess. The best known story in the Bible. Noah, Daniel, they're close. The prodigal son. The prodigal son is, even unbelievers know the story of the prodigal son. And in the story of the prodigal son, it says that the prodigal son took all of the wealth his father gave him. You know what the prodigal son's about? It's about a young man who was given a great gift. The father really is a picture of God. The young man is a picture of each one of us in our life. And the father gives great wealth and riches to the young man. And the young man takes it. And what does it say he did? He squandered his wealth on worthless living. The word squandered is this word right here. Don't be drunk with wine. Now, Paul could have said, don't get on drugs. He could have said, don't get hooked up in sexual activity. Being drunk with wine is just one of a million examples of how you can waste your time and your resources. Do not be drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but do what? Be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Young people, here's the key to life. Wisdom in life is coming to God by faith in Jesus Christ and making the Word of God a priority in your life so that you study it and you strive to obey it, but you live your life by faith now that you're a child of God on the Spirit of God who dwells within you. I will never be alone. I may one day be arrested. I may one day be put in a prison cell. I may rot in a prison cell the rest of my life, but I know I will never be alone. Because I have the Spirit of God. I have the person of Jesus Christ. I have the person of God the Father. Everywhere I go, there are three people with me, and it's not me, myself, and I. It's my Father, His Son, and the Spirit of God. I always have company. And that company is very, very real to me. If it wasn't, I wouldn't do what I do. Being filled with the Spirit means I have been born into the family of God, and therefore He is with me. He said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. No matter where I go, no matter what I go through, He is there with me. Young people, you can have that same confidence. You don't have to see Him. Listen, if I saw Jesus Christ standing here, it would only make Him less real. It would only make Him less real. When Jesus was with the disciples, yes, it was great to have Him there breaking the bread, feeding the people, healing the sick, speaking the Word of God, making the promises from heaven. But you know what? While He was here on this earth, He could only be in one place at one time. And when He sent the disciples out and they went out, they had to leave Him. We never leave Him and He never leaves us. So young people, there are five things. Let me just recap real quick if I can. I got about a minute. You and I will never redeem time until we understand how valuable it is. We will never redeem time until we understand the cost. We have to count the cost. What's it going to cost me to redeem time? We'll never redeem time until we understand what time is worth. And if we're going to redeem time, we're going to have to realize there's a reason for doing it. We're going to have to understand the need to wake up. We're going to have to recognize that I need to be careful how I live my life. I'm going to have to be wise and depend on God's Word to guide me through life. And I'm going to have to trust in the Spirit of God to give me the strength, to give me the will to obey the Word of God that I read. There you have things that will change your life, young people. If you'll jot those down, if you'll think on them, those three things of preparation and those five things that help us to understand something of what it means, and I've only scratched the surface. Believe me, we're gonna dig a lot of things out of this gold mine. That's what it takes to redeem time. Would you start redeeming time today? Would you ask yourself right now at the beginning of this day, what am I going to do with this day? There's something for you to do today. You have time today, and that time's going to pass. And once it's passed, the opportunity's gone forever. So I close with this question. Are you going to redeem your time? Or are you going to kill time? Redeem your time. It's going to carry over in blessing in eternity. Kill time. You're going to injure eternity. Let's pray. Thanks, Father, for the grace that you've given us, this opportunity to study your word. May God the Holy Spirit take the things that we've looked at and reach deep into the heart and soul of these young men and women who are getting ready to go out into life. Father, deliver them from being fools. Deliver them from the self-destructive lifestyle that is so prominent today in this country. Help them, Father, to have a desire to be wise, and maybe that even in their heart sometime this day, they would just utter the simple prayer, "Dear God, teach me to be wise. Teach me how to redeem time." Father, we commit this day into your hands. You gave it. It's ours to use. Help us use it well so that when we come to the end of this day, we have no regrets. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you all.